It just seems like it. Precious? Yeah. Precocious. Other people's children are brats. Mine are precocious. Oh, well. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we love you this morning. We just want to shout it from the rooftop, Lord. All the wonderful, amazing things you've done for us. The wonders that you've accomplished in our lives. Lord, we see it every day. May every breath that we take never cease to worship you. Lord, open your word for us this morning. Open our hearts for us to receive everything you have for us, Lord. Open heavens for us, Lord, that we would see you more clearly, that we would know you better, that we would draw nearer, closer to you. Lord, we lift our hearts up to you. Send forth your blessing, Lord, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Normally I don't have a lot of writing on my notes, handwriting. So if you see me leaning like this, I'm trying to figure out what I wrote. Do you know what God left out of the Bible? What's that? The winning lottery numbers. I win the lottery every week. I'm a dollar richer. Because I don't waste my time on that. He left out things that we don't need to know. I was waiting for someone to say lies, but actually there's lies in the Bible. Not from God. Did God really say that you will surely die? You will not surely die. I was reading in Jeremiah where the false prophet took the yoke off of Jeremiah and said, no, God says he's going to restore everything, restore us to the land. And that didn't happen. That guy got to die very soon after that. So do you know what God left out of the Bible? One thing I can think of. Actually, I read it somewhere. Your opinion. So there you go. Don't look for it there. It's not there. What is faith? One of our favorite verses. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It doesn't just tell us what faith is, it tells us when it is. And when is it? Now. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Without faith, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith. What is faith? I just told you, but yet, really, what does it come down to? Trusting God's word. Believing God. Very simple. Believing God. You know, I don't normally walk away from the pulpit, do I? Maybe I'm starting something. Reed, I'm going to borrow your chair. Do you believe there's a chair there? Well, some of us are in an alternate universe. I'd go there sometimes. A chair. Do I have faith in that chair? You know, that chair might let me down. You know, Rita can sit on it, just not my size. But the chances are that that chair isn't going to hold me. You know, not every chair will. It looks pretty sturdy, though. But do I believe in the chair? I see it there. But that's kind of it, isn't it? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We walk by faith, not by sight. I'm not going to try to sit in Rita's chair. She might get mad at me. She might throw something at me. No, she wouldn't do that. She's too nice. Usually. It's got wheels on it. I might try to sit down and it might just roll out from underneath me. Then where will I be? Well, I'll be on the floor, obviously. We walk by faith, not by sight. Just because we see a chair there, do we have faith in it? Now, if you saw me sit down on the chair and nothing wrong happened, nothing bad happened, you might have more faith in that chair. So now we're all going to watch as Rita sits in the chair and is it going to happen this time? She's got faith in that chair. She knows that chair. You brought that from home, didn't you? That's her chair. What is faith? What does true faith require? The first thing faith requires is knowledge. A man cannot believe what he does not know. What's a chair? See, there with the faith, right? There's no faith if I don't know what a chair is. There's no faith in a chair. There you go, Rita. Brought it back to you all in one place. One piece. One piece. You know, a man could ask, what do you believe? He might answer, I believe what the church believes. I think there's not a person in this room that can that can't come up with a better answer than that. I believe what the church believes. Do we believe what we're told? Well, not if you're listening to the government. I'm not going to go there. Talking about faith, there's none there. I don't care who it is. I've never trusted the government. Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And Isaiah 5:13, it says, without knowledge, my people enter into captivity. Without knowledge. So there has to be knowledge. Romans 10:14-15, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. To know. You know, it's not just what you believe in, but it's who you believe in. Second thing faith requires is agreement. We have to agree with what we know. We have to agree with our knowledge. But We have to believe the source. We have to believe the truthfulness of that source. Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the basis of our faith. If God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Actually, it doesn't matter if I believe it or not. It settles as soon as God says it, isn't it? Is the word of God truth? The word of God says it is. John 17:17, thy word is truth. And I believe it. But it has to go beyond that. It has to ring true in our hearts. It has to be placed in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. You read it again over and over. The more we read it, the more we know that we know that we know that is true. The third thing faith requires is affiance, affiance. Now, that's a word we see every day, isn't it? Actually, it's more common than you'd think. We get the word fiance from it. Affiance. It means to be attracted to. It means to take hold of, to grasp, to claim as your own, to be engaged to be committed to be promised to, and to be resting on that promise. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, has to be real to us. You know, that man might come knocking at your door telling you he's giving you a Lamborghini, but you might have a tendency to doubt that. But if he holds up the title to it with your name on it, and he points out to the curb where the Lamborghini's parked, then maybe that's something you can see. That's something substantial. But faith is that. Anybody know what the insurance would be on a Lamborghini? No, I'm not going to find out, I don't think. That's okay. It just get me in trouble. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We believe what we can't see. It says that in Hebrews that through faith we understand and believe that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Where did everything come from? God spoke it into existence. How do we know that? God said so. Just read it. It's in there. It's called a Bible. That means we're supposed to believe it, aren't we? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I just quoted the wrong verse. But that's okay. It's God's Word. But actually, that is something people have a hard time believing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. God doesn't start out by explaining who he is, where he came from, everything about himself. He just puts it right out there in front of us and says, believe. In the beginning, God. If you can get past the first four words in the Bible, there's hope for you. He doesn't make it easy for us. He wants to stretch us. He wants to stretch our faith. He wants us to reach out and grab hold of what he says and believe it. And you know what? It always works for me. So there you go. Do you have faith? It's test time. Three questions. Do you rely at all on your own righteousness for your salvation? My righteousness is as filthy rags. The Bible tells me that, and I believe it. Do you love Jesus? Do you obey Jesus? Most of the time. Sometimes we don't understand what he's saying. No. Does he grade on a curve? I don't think he does. I don't know. But if you believe in the blood of Jesus and its cleansing power and his power to heal and to save us, that's what it's all about, isn't it? But there should be some type of evidence of our faith. James 2:17 through 20. Even so, faith, if it has not words, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? There has to be evidence of your faith, doesn't there? You know, you can go to a swimming pool, and you look off to one side, you see a life preserver there, and that can reassure you, you know, that there's some safety measures have been taken to help you out if you need it. But the fact that that life preserver is there, does that save you? The fact that you believe that life preserver is there, does that save you? I've told a story before, and I'm going to tell it again. You knew I would. Man falls off a cliff. He's 500 feet down to these jagged rocks down below, but he's able to grab hold of a tree branch. And he's holding on to that, and I guess he decides it might be a good time to pray. Maybe he's never prayed before. I don't know. Things like that can cause you to seek God. So he prays, Lord, save me. Please save me. And he hears a voice from heaven. It says, I'll save you. Let go of the branch. Faith without works is dead. Faith isn't really faith until it's put into action. If we read a little further in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about, well, by faith Noah, being divinely warned, built an ark. By faith Abraham obeyed when he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph leaning on his staff. By faith Joseph, when dying, gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, the harlot Rahab didn't perish with those that didn't believe. Verse 32 says, what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight. Faith without works is dead. Faith actually becomes a part of our being. It becomes who we are. I'm going to give you two examples of this, and I think I talked about both of these not too long ago, probably more than once. In Acts chapter 12, Peter's imprisoned by Herod. He's scheduled to have his head cut off the next day. What's he doing? He's sound asleep. That wouldn't be me. The angel came to wake him up and had to, okay, get up, wake up. Well, maybe not like that, but it might as well have been. He was sleeping so soundly. That's just not human nature, is it? He's sleeping very soundly. But in John chapter 21, verse 18 and 19, Jesus told Peter, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou would. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, "Follow me." He was telling Peter that he was going to be crucified when he's old. Peter probably thought, "I'm not old. They're not going to crucify me. They're going to cut my head off, or they're planning on it, so I might as well go to sleep because it's not going to happen." It's not going to happen because Jesus said it's not going to happen. Acts 28, 3, and 5, 3 through 5. "And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire," this is on the Isle of Malta after they suffered a shipwreck on the way to Rome, "laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm." Didn't bother him a bit. Just get out of there. If you go back about five chapters before that, in Acts chapter 23, verses 10 and 11, Paul was in Jerusalem. "And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must you bear witness also in Rome.'" Paul wasn't in Rome yet. "This isn't going to stop me. Doesn't matter what the enemy tries to throw at me. I've got God's promise." He believed the Lord's promise. He grasped hold of it. He refused to let go. Hebrews 11:6, "Without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him." Those who come to him. Yes, he draws us to him, but we have to answer him when he beckons to us. We must respond to his call, don't we? I don't know how many people he calls and they don't answer. I imagine there's been times in my life when he's called and I didn't answer. But I'm glad I did when I did. Those who come to him must believe that he is. He's what? He's everything he needs to be, everything we need him to be, right? Moses believed that he is. He believed that he was. He is. Moses said, "Who are you, Lord? Who shall I say sent me?" I am the all-sufficient one. I'm all I need to be and all you need me to be. Must believe that he is and he's a rewarder. What kind of rewarder is he? Ephesians uses the word lavishes. It's like in the kitchen when we make the garlic bread. We slather that butter and stuff on that bread. And it just, everybody likes it that way. We're not miserly about it. God isn't miserly about anything, is he? He doesn't just give us a little bit of blessing. He lavishes blessing on us. He rewards us. He slathers it. Ephesians 1, 7 and 8, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence." Abounded toward. Literally, he has lavished on us. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, it doesn't say it casually seeks him. Like Psalm 91, he who abides in the shadow of the Most High, or he who dwells in the shadow of the Most High shall abide under the... Boy, I just butchered that verse every possible way I could, didn't I? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You notice it doesn't say he who visiteth it. No, dwell in, remain in, stay there. Once you've found that safe place, that place of comfort, that place he's provided for you, stay there. Diligently seek him. Jeremiah 29:12-14. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. Of course, he's talking to the children of Israel when they went into exile in Babylon. But yet, we've all had our captivity, haven't we? Some of us still do. But yet, God wants to deliver us from that. I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. You'll seek me, you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. In Isaiah 55:6-7, I'm going to close with this. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. He lavishes his pardon upon us. He slathers it. I don't know if that's a good word to use or not. But it gets the point across, doesn't it? Abundantly pardon. It literally means ever increasing amount each time we come. Well, Lord, you know that problem I have with doing such and such? I did it again. So we ask for forgiveness. What does he do? Even more mercy, more forgiveness than he gave us the time before, or any of the times before. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Don't ever think that you can outdo God's forgiveness. It's not going to happen. Ever increasing amounts each time we come. God's mercies, new every morning. Why are they new every morning? Because I need them to be. I need them to be. Anybody else here need them to be? New every morning? Are you glad they're new every morning? Can you say praise God? Praise God. Lord, we thank you. Where do we start, Lord? The disciples ask you to increase their faith. We ask you, Lord, to increase our faith. We want to have faith in spite of everything that's around us, everything that's coming at us, Lord. We just want faith that withstands everything. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. We want to have faith, Lord, that pleases you. And Lord, help us have strength through the process. Because it's like patience. It doesn't always come without a price, without some unpleasantness. Lord, help us to look beyond that and look towards what you're doing and the finished product, that you're trying to create, Lord. Lord, bless your people this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is true. We thank you, Lord, that we do believe. And that comes from you. That comes from your precious Holy Spirit. Keep us close to you, Lord, please. Keep us focused on you. Bring us safely back tonight when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. That concludes our service.